I remember Kenneth Hagin saying, you know, he ministered powerfully in the Spirit for 60 years and used mightily by God to perform many miraculous things. And I remember hearing him saying this statement. He said, I'm not saying that all alcoholism is a demon. But he said, all I can tell you is this, everyone I've dealt with was. And we have to realize, you know, you could say that again about other drugs and so forth, that there's demonic oppression with people shooting things in their arm, taking pills that they shouldn't take. And, you know, they've done it all right. They've probably started out and it wasn't demonic oppression, but as soon as they did it, you open the door to that demonic oppression, then you can't get out of it. But there is deliverance. There is every kind of deliverance that can take place. Praise God. We have to have the want to. We have to want a better life. People have to have a hope that they can get out of the mess they're in. And sometimes that's all we need to do is tell them, you don't have to stay like this. There is a way out. God will help you. God will minister to you. God will bring deliverance to you if you'll just pay attention to Him. If you'll just call out to Him. Let's look at Acts chapter 19, verse 11. Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and evil spirits went out of them. It's amazing how many times when you read in the scriptures in the book of Acts about people being healed, it also mentions evil spirits. It mentions them being driven out. Lots of times there's evil spirits attached to sickness and diseases. I remember Brother Hagin again telling a story about a young lady who was coming. There was this minister's niece where Brother Hagin was ministering who was sick, and she had cancer, and she had decided that she wasn't going to go to the doctor. I mean, back then it was a lot different than today. You know, back 50 years ago, it was quite different today. But she decided that there wasn't any sense in going to the doctor. And she had just gotten really, really bad. They started doing some meetings, and they would take her every night to the meeting. And second week, nothing. He had laid hands on her many times and had never prayed. And had never seen her healed. And they decided they were going to close the meeting, I think, after 2 weeks, but they decided to have another week of meetings and stay there. And so they took her back, and this Friday night, it was about the last night of the meeting, they carried her in, you know, the two people on each side of her, and she was just looked really bad. He said, I don't know why this happened that night. He said, never happened before, but I have no idea. But all of a sudden, he had a word of knowledge. And in a vision, he's seen a demonic spirit had this woman, his arm around her lung, and hanging on to her lung where her lung would be, and she had cancer of the lungs. And he commanded that evil spirit in the name of Jesus to let go. And he said that thing dropped on the floor and just kind of went into nothing. And that woman was instantly healed. Now, they had been praying for and never dealt with any kind of demonic spirit before. But at that particular time, he seen the spirit and cast the thing out, and she was healed. Now, if we're not open to that, I remember John Wimber telling the story. How many know who John Wimber is? God used him powerfully years ago to bring the healing message to a whole group of churches and started at the Vineyard Church and so forth. But he tells the story. He came out of a traditional background, and he didn't believe, for instance, that a Christian could be demon-possessed. Well, I don't believe that a Christian in their spirit can be possessed, because the spirit is a brand new creature, and that's where the Holy Spirit lives. But your spirit lives in this house. And this house, like, you know, you can live in a house, your home that you live in, and that house can have termites, but it doesn't mean that you have termites in your personal body, but your house has. We live in this house. And so while we, you know, our spirit being the real you can't be possessed, doesn't mean this house can't be demonically oppressed. And so he said they were convinced at that time that a Christian couldn't, you know, a demonic spirit couldn't have any influence on a Christian even. And so he said they were praying for this one of the elders in their church, and they were praying for this man. And they, he said, one time, he said, it came up that, I forget whether it was John Wimber or whether the other people that were praying, it came out that they should pray against the demon that was behind the sickness. And they didn't believe that a Christian could be influenced by a demon, so they didn't give it any credit at all. They just wouldn't go there. They didn't pray it. And the man died. He died and went to heaven. And one day, the man's son-in-law was coming into his kitchen, into the kitchen, and he had this vision. An open vision happened. And here he was, his father-in-law, who had died, was standing on the table in miniature form. Kind of a funny vision, but he was in miniature form. And he said to his son-in-law, "You wouldn't believe what it's like. We talked about what it's like over there, but you wouldn't believe what it's like. It's just absolutely glorious over there." And he told him that it was a demon that was behind the sickness. It totally transformed John Wimber's ministry and the way he looked at sickness and disease. And he wasn't afraid then after that to address demonic forces. Sometimes we need to have a revelation, a breakthrough in this area to change our paradigm in order to see things that we haven't been trained to be sensitive to. And so it just shifted totally. And when you and I are dealing with people, we have to be open to the fact that, hey, it could be demonic force. And some we have to be careful when we're praying for people that we don't scare them, because they might think, you're saying that, you know, they're so scared of demons that, you know, if you suggest that they might have a demon, you put the fear into them, and fear is no good either. It'd be like a bunch of people who Jesse DePlantis was ministering to one time when he was called to an insane asylum. There was four or five doctors in this rubber room and this demonic person, and he said he was called in there by a friend or the family and went in and cast the devil out of her, and she was released. You could tell that she had fell on the floor, and you could tell that there was a change. And the doctors said that were in there with him said, "What happened?" And Jesse said, "All I know is I cast the demons out of her, and I don't know where they went." He said, "Those doctors took out of that room just to fly in." But there is demon activity, but you and I do not have to be afraid of it. Why? Because we have the name of Jesus. And the name of Jesus has to bow its knee. The name of Jesus, when the name of Jesus is spoken, every demonic foe has to bow its knee. Glory to Jesus. So we never have to walk in fear. Now, Acts 19 says, God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul. Now think of this for a moment. We just read about all the miraculous things that were taking place, even in Jerusalem, and where they were having meetings where everybody was healed. But yet in this scripture it says, God worked unusual miracles. In other words, they were so great, these miracles were so great, it seemed to take special notice. Even in Luke's writings, he took special notice that they were so magnificent, it says that he worked unusual miracles at the hands of Paul. So we can expect unusual things to take place. God is able to do above and beyond what we ask or think. I just want to read to you after a commentary about this particular scripture. Consider the implications of that phrase, unusual miracles. The Greek could be translated somewhat freely, miracles of a kind that do not happen every day. Miracles were an everyday occurrence in the early church. Normally, they would have cause for no special surprise or comment. But the miracles granted here in Ephesus through the ministry of Paul were such that even the early church found them worthy of special record. There must have been something else that were taking place. Because unusual wouldn't have been a word that they were used by just carrying out someone, laying them on the ground, and Peter's shadow would pass by and they were healed. You know, that wasn't unusual. That was just a normal thing. Praise the Lord. Miracles are part of the early church history and a part of his story, his history. Now, I want to read you a couple of miraculous things through the ministry of John G. Lake. It's important for us to hear about these things and to be able to receive them and become miracle-minded, become healing-minded. You know, just to hear that testimony about that lady who was healed of cancer, that in itself, thank God we started these meetings. It's like you were saying, brother, thank God we did. Praise the Lord. It's awesome. We want to become healing-minded, miracle-minded, expecting things to take place, expecting miracles to happen. John G. Lake was used tremendously by God to bring healing to many, many individuals. Now, I want us to think a little bit about, again, that God, say this, God wants to use me. John G. Lake says, I was sitting one day in the home of the De Valeries in South Africa when a man arrived who had traveled all over the country. He had been following me from place to place trying to catch up with me. He suffered a sunstroke which had affected his mind, and he also developed a large cancer. He came into the house and proved to be a friend of the family. Now listen to this. In a little while, a six-year-old child who had been sitting near me went across the room, climbed on the man's knees, put her hands on the cancer on his face, and prayed. I saw the cancer wither. In half an hour, the thing had disappeared. The wound was still there, but in a few days, it was totally healed. After the child had laid her hands on top of his head, the man arose saying, oh, the fire that has been in my brain has gone out. And his mind was normal. Isn't that awesome? This is our miraculous God. Now, this wasn't back in the early church. This was in the early 1900s that this took place. God is still doing it today. He's still bringing healing today. And the more we lay hands on the sick and pray for his people, the more we'll see God's healing power manifested. A woman came into the healing rooms once with a tumor larger than a full-grown unborn child. Her physicians had been fooled, believing it to be a child. Then they decided it must be something else. She came to the healing rooms and I interviewed her. She said, Dr. Lake, I have the opinion of several physicians. They are all different, but each has said it is possible it may be a child. But now the time has passed and they do not know what to say. I put my hand on her for a moment and then I said, Madam, it is not a child. It is a tumor. She sat down and wept, the nurse with her. Her soul was troubled and she did not receive healing. She came back another afternoon for prayer and returned the next day wearing a corset. She said, I came down to show you that I am perfectly normal. When I retired last night at 10 o'clock, there was no evidence that anything had taken place beyond that I felt comfortable and the choking was gone. But when I woke up this morning, I was my normal size. I asked, did it disappear in the form of a liquid? She said, there was not an outward sign of any character. What happened to it? It just dematerialized. The tumor dissolved. What a miracle. It is the tangible evidence of the supreme control of the Spirit of God over every character and form of materiality. Now, this is interesting because here we have this little child that prayed for an individual and they were completely healed instantly. Here this other lady came and the minister, John G. Lake, prayed for her and seemed like nothing happened. But later, actually, at the time, if I read this correctly, John G. Lake prayed for her and nothing happened. Then she came back to his healing rooms, which would be, other people praying, most likely, and they prayed for her. She went home and that night was healed. Seemed like nothing had taken place. Now, that means that when we pray for people, even though we may not see any evidence in the natural, don't stop believing. Continue to believe that something is taking place. Continue to believe that the healing power is going through that individual, and it will eventually reach a point where it will be manifested in the healing of their body. God heals in many, many different ways. But these are miraculous things that God wants to do in our midst today. He wants us to be a healing, delivering body that is able to set the people free in the name of Jesus Christ. I guess what probably excites me more than ever is not necessarily so much about praying for people and seeing them healed, but to create an environment of healing. for somehow this is dropping my spirit, that I want an environment created that healing will even be in the air. I remember hearing a testimony in 1950 when the healing revival was on. God was doing something spontaneous, miraculous through the 50s, the late 40s, and into the 50s, where it seemed like there was an awesome, awesome healing revival taking place. And there was this couple, these Presbyterian ministers who were going around, and they were holding healing services and having wonderful results. And somebody asked them, "How did you get into it? You know, you're not charismatics or anything like that. How did you get into it?" And she said, "Well, it seemed like we went to a few meetings, and it seemed like healing was in the air. You could pray for anybody. You could pray, and people would be healed. It just seemed like it didn't matter what you said; the miracle working power of God was available." Well, I believe that those kind of environments can be created or can be received from heaven. Lord, we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, we pray, your kingdom come, your divine manifestations come to Prince Edward Island as it is in heaven, Lord. God, may your visitation come, that you would come and you would dwell amongst us, and your presence would bring healing to everyone who comes in that presence. His healing power manifested. God desires it. He wants us to go to a moto lobobo shite lobobo shinde kasondo bedasite kasondo lebede sinde la babasondo kosondo lo barasinde seho suru barasinde lida boko sondo bede sende ke sinde la ba asundo bobobo shite la mandasondo kosinde la mandasondo zi bede sinde la barasondo le bebe bebe he sinde kosondo bede sinde Sondo lo mando shite ke kesende la kakala manda sondo. For just as I have set apart individuals to seek my face in healing revival of the past, I have moved upon individuals and caused them to pray even in the night seasons. Many across the land have given time and paid the price for that healing environment to manifest itself. Now in this day, there is a price to pay as well. Today, individually, I am calling individuals to ask me, what is the price that I am to pay to see the manifest presence of God come that will bring healing into the nations? I am looking for those who will ask, what is the price? What is that I will give in order to see healing manifested in our midst? For as the question is asked, the answer will be given, and I will lead many into that place to pray out the manifestation of the kingdom of God on earth. Now I give you this choice, this opportunity. Ask of me, and I will give to you the insight and wisdom of what must be carried out in order to see the manifestation increase of divine healing, the manifestation of the presence of God that will bring everything you need in order to advance the kingdom. For as you walk in all that you need, you will be then able to reach out and give out to those around you those things that will cause them to seek for the things of the kingdom of God. For today is a day of shift and a day of change, and I will give to those who are calling after me. Hasiti kosondo barasinde la mandasondo kola babasinde lebebe sende kosondo. Do not dwell on those who seem to be lukewarm, those who do not seem to care about the things of the kingdom of God. Don't look to them, look to me. I have chosen those with a heart after me to carry the treasure that I want to show to the world. And if you'll look to me, I'll allow you to partake of the treasure of God and be an administrator of the things of the kingdom of heaven. And you'll have great rejoicing because you will see what takes place when heaven touches earth, when heaven touches individuals, when heaven changes lives. You'll rejoice and you'll stand in a place of honor because God has put his hand upon you and has exalted you because you have humbled yourself in order to pay the price of heaven coming to earth. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Why'd you stand with me now? And why don't we take this time right now and ask the Lord, if that's on your heart, if you're willing to be used by God, why don't we just ask the Lord, Lord, what is the price that you would have me pay? What is my part? Father, release it, God, we pray in the name of Jesus, as we ask, dear God, what is it, Lord? What is it, God, that you desire to set in motion in our lives that would cause the manifestation of your presence to come in a greater measure, even in our church, Lord? The manifestation of who you are, the manifestation of heaven in our church.